What's up, guys? Welcome into another edition of Bogey Free. I'm your host, Matt Jones. You can find me on Twitter at MattJonesTFR. And the graduate, am I pronouncing that right? Evan Cheney at Cheney69 is back. What's up, man?
Yeah. We finally made it. We made it through. I think I was in college for 6 years before I got my undergrad. So,
like, what a dick I am for giving you such a hard time. And then I saw you. I saw you tweet the hours earlier. I missed the graduation picture. So I almost felt bad. But I'm just glad that I could play a small part in getting you through college. With all these Bogey Free bucks,
kept me sane, kept me with textbooks. I could afford textbooks with the golf money.
So congrats on that. Very exciting stuff. We have Brian Kirshner joining us tonight. You can find him on Twitter at @BrianKirshner_. What's going on, man? I'm doing a short intro here because we got 48 seconds till this draft starts, and we just pulled. And you're third,
I'm ready to just give out some locks tonight, do a little snake draft, talking a lot of DFS. I'm going to enter too much money in this week and just go at it, but it's going to be a fun week. I'm looking forward to it. And thank you for having me on your pod.
Of course, man.
I'm ready to talk some golf, and I appreciate the invite.
For sure, man. We love having different opinions on and everything. So, and we've been interacting a little bit, so I figured I'd throw out the invite there. Again, guys, make sure you are following Brian at @BrianKirshner_. We got to get a comma in the followers number there.
Yeah, no, I think so. That'll be good.
All right, let's see what we got here. Wow, Spieth with the top ADP at the moment. Interesting.
It makes sense because he's probably the second best four coming into this one.
I guess, yeah.
As tilting as that is.
Yeah, they went right to one, I think that's more. I think that's more my speed. Rahm is up there too. Rahm goes, Brian's on the clock here. Yeah,
I'm up and I could grab Spieth. You know, I heard him on the No Lane podcast today.
I said it's such value.
I'm gonna take Spieth. I was gonna get. If he was there, I'm grabbing him. Did it go through?
It did.
It normally takes a second.
Oh, no. All right, now we got one pick until us here, Ev. What are we thinking here? We got Decky off the Masters win. We got Willie Z. I mean,
let's go, Will.
Yeah, I think it's Will.
Will comes in here. Yeah, he comes in here pretty good, actually.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't know if. People, I haven't listened to any content or read anything yet this week. I don't know if people are like worried that he missed the cut. I am firmly not in that camp. If there are people that are feeling that way, I'm not.
Can't go wrong with Willie Z this week.
Yeah, then we got Berger going, and then it's about to bounce back to us, and then Brooks. You could flip a coin here for me, Ev. What do you think, Scheffler or Burns?
Well, I was going to say Fitzpatrick.
Well.
But, I mean.
All right, I'll go Fitz. That's fine.
Fitzpatrick.
That's fine.
Do we have any strange pickers in this draft? Someone picking, like. Remember that one guy's lineup who just random picks across the board? We have any of those?
I'm up. Not totally chalk, but
I'm
standard.
I think I'm going to go with Leishman. I have him in a lot of lineups. I like him this week. He plays well in easier fields. He bombs the ball. I'm going to go Leishman. I have him in a lot of lineups, so I'm going to stay true to that.
Yeah, I like it. And everybody likes an Australian in Texas, so.
Oh, I hit Leishman. Why did it say I didn't mean to draft Burns, but I actually like Burns this week.
Burns is a better player.
I don't know how I did that. Oh, I got it really clicking right away. I think it just auto-drafted the first one.
Yeah, I think you're on auto-draft right now, Brian. What? It has a little logo on your name.
I'm an idiot.
There you go.
I'm so dumb. I've never done a live draft before. But I think my lineup will still work out well.
Yeah, I honestly do prefer Burns for sure. So Sergio went, Palmer went. And then you're about to be up after this next pick there, Brian. Yeah. Jason Day. Yeah, a lot
of
guys.
I'm gonna go way down the board. I'm gonna go way down the board and I'm drafting my guy Brant Snedeker. I ran some models and he's popping up really high, and I absolutely love him in every way, shape, and form this week. He probably won't win, but I'm taking him every finishing position this week. I really like him this week, and I really like him in DraftKings.
Here's my question, though. How does DJ have a 19.9 ADP?
Well, he withdrew.
No, I'm saying, like, he's not playing.
So I think he probably got, like, auto-drafted before they marked him out. All right, Siwoo went. Is it list week, buddy? I think it's list week.
Oh God, I guess it's list week.
I mean, I'm fine with Harris English too, but
I mean, I'd prefer Harris English. Makes me not want to go nuts, but
yeah, I don't know if I could deal with Fitzpatrick and List in the same lineup. So that's a solid call. This will be, what is this, a $5
draft? I think Fitz is going to have a good week.
Yeah. I'm just saying this is a $5 draft, and it would probably tilt me more than anything else that I enter or bet this week.
I think, Luke List, though, makes a lot of sense for more traditional DFS contests.
Yeah. You know, well, sure. I mean, if he makes it back to us, can we say no twice? That's the real question. Ooh. He did.
Wait.
I mean, I kind of want to go down here and get Gooch in there personally.
You can get Gooch. You can pick up value now and then.
Yeah, I'm thinking we should go Gooch here.
Possibly just pick up List at the back end of the draft. You know, one of us at least.
Yeah, this is interesting this week. Obviously, the field is definitely on the weaker side. Pricing in general is kind of interesting. And you know, these drafts definitely reflect that. Like if you, I've talked about it before. If you have like a strong conviction on somebody in a weak field like this for a snake draft, I think you should absolutely be willing to, you know, take a stand in the snake. Because not a lot of people go.
Also, I feel like Matt Kuchar is being...
I totally agree. I think...
No, what were you saying? I'm sorry.
No, I was saying I think DFS is really great this week. I think there's a lot of opportunity to build a lot of really good lineups, and you're not like fighting for prices at the end, which I think makes for a really good week. So I think it's a good week to mass enter a bunch of lineups because you could get a lot of lineups with a lot of players you like this week. So I think it's a great week for DFS.
Yeah, and I think there's some uncertainty, obviously, with a course that we haven't really seen before. And I think that any time – and a weaker field, I think any time there's that much volatility, you know, you just – if you just kind of lean back on, like, your baseline projections, you can do pretty well in weeks like this.
I agree. I drafted Carlos Ortiz because he had a strong showing at the TPC Scottsdale, the very similar courses. Sometimes his putter can get hot, so I'm going to ride with him this week. I have him in a few lineups.
Ev, you got – what do you think, Champ, Kazire?
Champ, absolutely.
Yeah.
If we're rewarding bombers here, Champ, yeah. Champ all the way.
Yeah, I haven't spent a ton of time digging and being like, oh, this is definitely hold on, I'll finish that thought in a second. What do you think, Munoz? I don't hate Stallings this week either, honestly.
I want you to pick someone. Haven't I picked our whole team at this point?
Yeah, I'll stick to Stallings. My convictions here. I'm gonna go Stallings. Oh,
yeah.
Should I get?
All right. Yeah, I like this team. That's a fine way to round out there.
But for whatever reason, I look at it and I just feel like slightly uncomfortable.
I don't know why. But I think that's the week, right? Like that's
the field, I think.
Yeah,
that is representative of the field. So
the snake draft itself kind of lends itself to feeling kind of shitty after, because like you can't decide to go Stars and Scrubs. Like you have
I'm going for the sole fact that he showed up really high in the model I made. I'm going Wyndham Clark for no other reason. He's high in my model.
Okay.
I like it.
I would also be intrigued with Johnny Vegas at that.
Yeah. I think he's a popular pick this week. I think it's a good pick. Honestly, yeah. I think a lot of people will be on him.
Again, I haven't.
He was pretty high on Fantasy National. I looked.
Okay. I mean, if he's being talked about, then Fantasy National is going to be picking up on that. So that makes sense, though. I mean, he's a bomber. He's a cheap bomber, and of course, that rewards that. So I wouldn't. I don't
blame. No, I think it'll be a good pick.
Yeah.
So I was just saying, I think that in general, I can stop sharing my screen here. I think in general, you kind of leave the snake kind of liking it and kind of hating your lineup every single week, because like you don't have the option of just being like, I can pick two of the top guys. Like that won't ever happen in a snake draft just by virtue of the format. So it's one of those things where you kind of have to embrace like the volatility at the end, where you can go a little bit off the board. If you're doing a six man draft, you can go a little bit deeper than, you know, like the quote unquote ADP. Like this ADP is not efficient or any more efficient than like the salary scale, right? Like it's a few drafts running for a couple of days. It's not like fantasy football ADP, where by August, like it pretty much ends where it's supposed to be, right? Like, yeah, there are injuries, yeah, there's shit that happens in between, but it doesn't have as much time to mature. So there are definitely inefficiencies within the snake draft ADP. I definitely suggest it if people aren't trying it. I definitely suggest hopping in a few. You can even just do dollar drafts and, you know, go through 10 drafts. What we've been on the show right now for 13 minutes and we already went through a six man draft, and you could do multiple at the same time. So definitely worth checking out. We're just hoping and praying now that Underdog starts offering golf stuff.
Be nice if Underdog was in Pennsylvania.
Well, yeah, I mean, that would be better for you.
Good start.
I think I'm more concerned about them offering golf in the first place, and then they can worry about Pennsylvania license RF.
I want to play that format so badly. It just seems fun. Like everyone's
Underdog is great. All right. So before we start talking about our bets for the weekend, you can probably get a feel for guys that we like based on who we just drafted and what we were talking about. But before we do that, I just need to make a public service announcement. If you tweet something about a golf tournament on Thursday morning, it's fucking sarcasm. Just, it's sarcasm. It's a joke. I'm so fucking tilted off these morons that are like old take exposing me because I made a joke about bombers at Quail Hollow. Like, give me a break. This is the stupidest shit I've ever seen in my life. I needed to release that into the atmosphere, and you guys don't have to comment if you don't want, but I just get that out.
I enjoy the fuckery.
Most of my tweets, if there's not like specific stats and like a visual, I'm mostly just like, I'm just screwing around. Like, it's Twitter.
Yeah.
It's not like everything that I write on Twitter is not like exactly well researched, like well thought out. I know I put that stuff out too, but it doesn't mean that everything I say is like my actual, like sometimes I'm just shit posting.
It's the Josh Hermsmeyer strategy.
100%. 100%. I wish I could be Frisco Josh when I grow up.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's ever said that.
I mean, to be a football analyst and a wine connoisseur.
It's good stuff.
I mean, come on. The guy hit the nuts when
classy guy. Yeah. Classy guy. So I just needed to get that out there because I don't understand how anybody could have read that and not realized that I was being sarcastic at 9:30 on a Thursday morning. But yeah, so that's that. All right, let's hit some of our favorite bets here, Brian. I know that you had mentioned, I guess, your like what's your sort of split between DFS and betting? Like, you're more betting, is it 50-50? Are you getting into DFS now? Like, what's your general, like, how are you putting money on golf every week?
Yeah, so I definitely started with just betting on golf, like on a book, and like betting finishing positions and betting matchups. And then about like a month and a half ago, I was just like, all these people talking about DFS, like I always knew about it, but I never like was getting more and more into the industry and more on like wagering on golf. And I just got into it and I was like, this is legal and it's like the best thing ever. And I love DFS. It's a lot of fun. And then like, I think like my third week doing it, it was 2 weeks ago at the Valero. Like, I just had a sick lineup for a while. And at one point on Friday, I was up 20 grand. Obviously I didn't end up that much, but that rush and like that, like the fact that you could win that much money off a good lineup and having an inkling on a lot of golfers, which is all about what betting is about. I really got into it, but I definitely wager and like more money at risk every single week, like wagering on golf. Like, I'll probably put like $100 a week into DraftKings and just kind of put them into a bunch of different lineups, but I'm still learning. I'm still getting a lot better and I want to do a lot more mass entries, but the money I put on like my Twitter, like I don't use units. Like, I usually wager about like $400 to $600 a week on golf. And then about 100 in DraftKings every week. So that's really kind of my split and what I've been doing.
Yeah, I.
Oh no, Matt. We lost into the abyss.
Oh no. We'll have to hold the podcast going while he recoups it.
Am I back?
I hear you, but I can hardly.
You're back. You're
I
back.
Mean, nobody. You're nobody fine. Wants to. Back. Nobody wants to look at me anyway, so. like when we started the show, I would say I was like totally the opposite. Like, I was like 90% DraftKings and like 10% betting, and I'm probably like 60-40 betting at this point, because the like DraftKings is great and I love the GPP payouts and all that great stuff that you're chasing, but realistically, like I've shown over the past few years to myself that like I'm way more profitable betting than I am, putting lineups together on DraftKings. So I still throw in, you know, my usual like 3 to 20 lineups in different contests, depending on how I'm feeling for the week and how pricing looks. But I've definitely backed off a little bit. And I was on Lulz with Pete Overzet and Brick a couple weeks ago, and Brian was kind of saying the same thing, that like DFS golf has just sharpened up so much as far as ownership goes. Like when Evan and I started this show, literally if a guy missed the cut, he the next week would be like single digit on no matter who it was. Like there was no like, oh, actually, like his underlying metrics are actually pretty good, and it was just like a shitty putting week. Like that wasn't a thing. Like so many people would just be like, oh, well, he screwed me last week. Like I'm not doing that this week. And yeah, that's obviously changed a ton. Like we're sort of in this time right now with Data Golf and Fantasy National and, you know, the tools from Fantasy Golf Bag that are over at FTN, Roto Grinders, like all these sites have, you know, Labs has it too. Like all these sites have such good projections and such good ways of looking at strokes gained that it's like, that shit doesn't happen anymore, unfortunately, because it was a lot more fun back then.
Well, I wish I was there for that. Yeah, well, this was also before I think the PGA ShotLink API was a thing. Mm-hmm. And I mean that's why all these models are the way they are. That's why the game is sharpened up. It's because this API came out. So yeah, that wasn't out in 2017, I guess. That's when we started.
Yeah, when we started, I was copying and pasting year to date stats off of PGAtour.com. So yeah, I actually found in my drive somewhere my old like show sheets. I have to tweet a couple like screenshots of that out because it's absolutely hysterical, the shit that I used to look at and think was important.
That's fine. All right,
so Brian, why don't you tell us some of your favorite outrights for the week? Have you shared your card on Twitter?
I've been waiting. I've been waiting till like Wednesday. I mean, I really just posted whenever, but I'm still kind of like going through a few things and like figuring out exactly how much I want to wager. But I like outrights, but I'm not a huge outright guy. I like to make my money in the finishing position market. Maybe throw a couple bucks on outrights every week, but it's so hard and so volatile. And obviously, a lot of people hit outrights. Like a lot of people were on Rory last week, so it's doable. It's very, very doable, and people do it every week. But it's kind of hard for me to do some outrights. I have, I have Leishman outright, Willie Wynn. I really don't know, but can I go over like my favorite top 20s maybe, or like sure, top 10s finishing positions?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Go ahead. So Two finishing positions I really like, and I'm definitely wagering a lot of money on this week. Again, I said it, I drafted him. I really like Brant Snedeker this week. He's won me money recently. He's playing in really good form. I made a model where he putts really well on bent, and he plays really well in easy conditions. And he's been playing some really good golf. He had a top 10 last, like, 2 weeks ago. So I really like him top 40 plus. I mean, top 20 plus 240, I think I have him at. Maybe it's even higher. That could be a wrong number. I could look. But I really like him this week. I also really like Matt Fitzpatrick, somebody you drafted. He's playing the best golf of his life. He's a birdie maker. He's a great putter. He drives it really well. Those are really the two things I'm looking at this week is driving and putting and just be able to make birdies. Will Matt Fitzpatrick win? I mean, no, he hasn't won much on American soil, but I do think that he's going to be in contention. I do think he has a very solid week, so I think he's a great play for finishing position and in DFS this week.
Nice. I like it. Yeah, I went through and I've alluded to this over the last couple of weeks, the, you know, the legal books. It seems like every week there's one that's just like completely drunk as far as top 20 odds goes. Like they have been pricing up, they've been pricing up these guys at the top so low that like to not like have to go crazy with their hold, they have to price these mid-tier guys in like the 400 to 800 range. And if there's just no shot that they should be this high. Like this week I saw, I think it was Stallings. I make him like plus 330 for a top 20 this week. And he was plus 800 on PointsBet.
Yeah, I'm like, just got to take advantage of that.
Like, Kizire is plus 600. And again, it's not like these guys aren't like my favorite golfers in the world. And I'm not saying like, oh, well, you should, you know, refinance your house so that you can bet on Patton Kizire this week. But like, if even at other books right now, Kizire is at most plus 400 and PointsBet has plus 600. Like, those discrepancies are, over the long term, are like super important. So I have Kizire, Stallings. I have top 20 on Burns at plus 150, which I think has a decent chunk of value.
It's love not, that. Love that. Love that play.
I make him closer to like plus 140, but which usually isn't a bet for me, but this week there just wasn't a ton. So I went a little heavy on Burns, and then Vincent Whaley also at plus 700 on PointsBet. Another guy who it's just like completely off market. Like, he's 450 at DraftKings and he's 700 at PointsBet. And I know that I know Sky over at FTN is always on him as well. And I definitely trust Sky's opinion on these things. So those are my main top 20 bets this week. Honestly, I haven't even really looked at the outright odds. I'm assuming that Rahm and Bryson are probably like,
yeah, Rahm
700, 800 would be my guess.
I'm on Pinnacle. Rahm's 622. Bryson is 690.
Like, I mean, I get it.
1133.
Absolutely horrible odds.
You know, I get it. Like, they don't want any liability on those guys, but like, those aren't true. Like, those aren't true odds. No matter how you slice it, like,
no,
they're not.
I mean, these are indicative of what the market, not their actual, but what the market's going to give you.
Right. But then those guys being so low will inevitably lead to, you know, value down the board, where guys are going to get like in the, you know, the 80s that should be in the 60s and stuff like that. And who the hell really knows this week? Like, I know people don't like hearing that, but from like when you're listening to advice from somebody that you listen to. But like, this course could play really any, like, yeah, maybe we think distance is great. Maybe it is, but like, who the hell knows? We don't know for sure how this course is going to play. You can listen, you can comb through the interviews on Tuesday afternoon after the press conferences and shit like that. But like, who the hell knows? Until Friday afternoon, we're probably not going to know. And there's a chance that if there's weather, we're still not going to know how the course is supposed to play. So like, it's just one of those things that I think is super interesting, watching people get like super confident. And it's just like, it's volatile on a week to week basis with courses that we know. Like, how can you be that confident that you know how a course is going to play? Like, sure, take a stand, do your research, you know, tell yourself that story and play lineups based on how you think it's going to go. But like, I don't know.
I mean, if we're, you know, speaking of bets here, I think Siwoo is mispriced across the betting market. His $8,800 price on DraftKings, I think, makes sense. But in terms of the betting market, I think he's better than a 33-1. He does fit. From what we know about this course, from what we can imply, he seems to fit well. Right, the all-around game seems sharp. What is he doing? He's gaining strokes pretty much everywhere relative to this field, except putting. Putting, he's having some issues.
Well, part of his putting data was also with a 3-wood at the Masters. So,
yeah, you know. I don't think that's track though, is it?
No, I'm just kidding.
I was thinking about that too when I was saying his name. I'm like, didn't he have that little thing going on? Yeah,
what is he for, like, a top 10?
What's that?
What is he for a top 10 right now? Do you have that up?
A top 10.
I got it.
Yeah. What's he top 10?
On time on just DraftKings, plus 350 on DraftKings.
Yeah, he's 385 pinnacle, which...
Yeah. No, I mean, that's the thing about, like, golf odds is that there's so many books and there's so many different odds. Like, they can't all be so sharp. Or, like, if you're betting other sports, like, the lines are so sharp that it's hard to get kind of an edge. So, if you have a bunch of books and, like, if it's legal, you could just, like, I'm on a bunch of different, like, local books. But if you're on legal books, I mean, it's so easy to exploit the odds in the market and just find good numbers on people.
I'm telling you. And this doesn't necessarily apply to golf directly. It also applies to a sport like UFC. Fox Bet is the most square book I've ever seen when it comes to at least UFC betting. I've seen some really weird golf odds there as well. But that's why you shop, though. It's like you have Fox Bet, and then FanDuel offers wonky odds sometimes. Which is, I mean, it's good for us. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. But, like, it's kind of the importance of shopping, of line shopping.
Yeah.
You can find, like, 30 cents of value by just being like, oh, instead of depositing my, I don't know, $50 in the one book that has worse odds, you can go to another book that's giving you 30 cents better odds, and it'll put your same $50 in there. It's like,
my friends are
not doing that. My friends are the loyalists. The loyalist types, where they're like, "Oh, I like Dave Portnoy, so I'm just gonna put all my sports bets in the Barstool and not shop the odds at all." I'm like, "This is why you suck.
This is why you're gonna have to redeposit shortly."
Yeah,
that's the thing. Like people are obsessed with being on the, you know, the quote unquote right side, and like random. Like a random bettor just isn't price sensitive enough. Like if you're just betting on like big events every once in a while, then like, yeah, whatever, just you're doing it for entertainment. It is what it is. But like, if you want to sustain through a PGA season, like you're talking about like 40 plus weeks of betting throughout the year. And you have to take advantage of those little discrepancies whenever you can. You might not go really long without capitalizing on, you know, an outright that's supposed to be 66-1 and it's 80-1. But the time, those rare times that you do actually capitalize on it, it makes up for all the times that you didn't do that. Like it does add up pretty quickly, especially in golf markets where there's longer odds. When you're talking, did Brian just drop out?
Brian just disappeared.
No. When you're talking about areas, we're having all sorts of tech difficulties.
Sorry. I
don't know what happened. No, StreamYard is just strange.
Yeah, I know. It's been a little weird lately. Is
there an echo? I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. I don't hear anything.
I am fine.
All right, let's
sorry about that.
No worries. Any other guys that we missed that you think we should talk about before wrapping up here, Brian?
Okay. You know, I'm looking at my card. I think I like Thomas Peters this week, top 20, top 10. I mean, it's so hard to predict. Like you were saying, it's so hard to predict who's going to win a tournament on a regular week. Like this week, it's even harder. Plus, you factor in a major next week. It's like the most random stuff happens before a major. So, I mean, people are going to have outrights. Obviously, that's how they bet, but I'm always very light, and I'm more light on it this week. Some other bets I like. I mean, I think Palmer, I got him at plus 200 for a top 20 play. I think he's a popular pick for – it makes sense because he has a course record, and he's lived in Texas, and he's a great player, and he's been playing very consistent. I mean, I don't see a miscut from him. I think he's going to play well. So I think a top 20, you're doubling your money. I think it's a good number. Get the best number, obviously. And, I mean, I also do weirdly think – I mean, a lot of people are betting Bryson. And that – I mean, his odds now kind of suck. But I think Bryson could win every week. And this kind of feels like another place he could win. But I feel like you could say that any week about him. Yeah. So, I mean, at the top guys, I do think Bryson. And I think Spieth could also have a good week for the fact that he won the most recent week before a major, and he's been playing amazing golf. So I think Spieth and Bryson, obviously they'll be very high owned, but if you want to start your lineup in DFS or maybe a top 10 bet or just want to throw a little bit on and out right at a top price guy, I think those would be my two favorite. Nothing groundbreaking there. I mean, those are just two great golfers. It makes sense.
Yeah, I think
Matt, you
I
want
think
an
I'm
opportunity
probably,
to hate me?
Oh. Always. Go ahead. I'm listening.
You
want
to talk about an outright?
Wait, can I guess? Talk,
take a guess. I don't think you're going to get him.
Can you give me like a range?
A range. Give me the range. The range.
I'll tell you he's slightly worse than 200-1.
Okay, hang on. At Pinnacle?
Yeah. And it's not a guy that I traditionally talk about on this show.
Will Gordon.
Wow, you got him. There you go. Will Gordon. Will Gordon.
You know him well. That was impressive.
Yeah, I saw it in his eyes.
That was strange. That was strange how easy that came. Kind of scared. But yeah, no, Will Gordon at, what, 241-1 right now? He kind of makes sense here as an out. Well, I mean, you can make sense of him as an outright, but more realistically, he's probably like a top 10 candidate, top 20. But like, he is gaining the second most strokes driving the ball of anyone in this field. And again, if we're going to value driving distance over anything else on this course, from what we know, what courses might correlate best with Quail Hollow, Will Gordon makes a lot of sense as to have in your betting on your betting card in some aspect, you know, somewhere in between like a top 20 and, or maybe a win if you really want to be ballsy. And then, I mean, we didn't talk about it for DFS, but it's 6,800. He's like, he's pretty cheap. He's pretty cheap and he fits here half decently, like enough to justify his price tag.
Yeah, no, I think that's fine. He's 300-1 at 365 right now. So yeah, if you put an E-Troy on him, he'd be 75-1 for a top five. I don't hate that. That's a nice cheap little flyer there that you could pay off pretty nicely. So
I mean, he's never finished better than, actually no, he has a third. Never mind. I forgot about the Travelers. Yeah, he had that third place last year. But like, he's played some decent tournaments. He missed his last two cuts, but you know.
Yeah, but I mean, he's the quintessential, like, you know, if his Friday round didn't happen, he would have been like, he has like scoring upside for sure, and he usually has a couple of low rounds. It's just, you know, he mixes in like a 76 too often, basically, is his problem. Which
yeah,
is a
I mean,
big problem, but
yeah,
you know what I mean.
It's a huge problem, but like on the off chance he could put it together for an entire, you know, 4-day stretch, is a top 10 out of the question? I mean, a top 20 is definitely not out of the question. Right. Is it top 10? No. You know, so I don't know. For someone who fits well here from what we know about this course, then, you know.
I like it. Should be all interesting. Right, I think we gotta wrap it up there. I think Will Gordon winning is the spiciest take of the day, and yeah. I think that just about does it. So Brian, thanks for making the time in. We'll definitely circle back at some point this year, and have you back on. Thanks again, man.
Yeah, just hoping to have consistent profitable weeks, and I appreciate you guys having me on so I could share some insight, and I'm glad we could chat some DFS. And I just feel bad that I'm gonna win the snake draft easily. It's going to be, it won't be close. Just want to say that. Now, but I do appreciate the time and the fact that you guys had me on. I had a really good time.
I'm glad, man. Thanks again, Evan. As always, a pleasure. If you are listening, if you're watching this right now, there's a few spots left in the listener league. So make sure you hop in there, and we will see you next week for the PGA Championship. All right. See you guys.